Yeah, I think it's quite natural, isn't it? Quite normal on Father's Day to not just think about dads, but if you like me, to think about some of the wonderful things that dads say. Some of the things that stick in my mind from my own father's lips, of course, are things like, look for it with your eyes, not your mouth. It's a good saying, isn't it? Don't make me stop this car. We used to start Dad's car with a crank handle, you know. Don't make me get out and get this car going again was one thing. He used to say, do you think money grows on trees? Your dad ever say that to you? He said, I'm not shouting at you. I'm not shouting at you. I'm helping you here. It's great, isn't it? My particular favourite, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to many, but some of you will know it. He would always say, because one of our chores on a Saturday morning was to go out and cut logs. And he would always say, let the saw do the work. Well, I must have had a very lazy saw because it always struggled, I can tell you. But you know, in picking up on where we left off with Jude last time, and this being Father's Day, the saying that came most to my mind from what I remember my dad telling me was that when he'd phone up and ask me on my next visit to his house to bring a particular thing with me, which mostly with Dad, it was a few bags of manure for the garden. And once I convinced him that I'd heard the request and I would bring it with me, he couldn't help but have to go on and add, don't forget to remember then. He probably knew what I was like, but I like that little saying, don't you? Don't forget to remember. Now, my dad told me that because he didn't want me to arrive at his house without the very thing that he really wanted. But it sticks in my mind because we have a Heavenly Father too who does not want us forgetting what he wants us to remember, but in his case, not for his good, but for ours. Don't forget to remember. See, if we do forget to remember what God has said, you know, we're going to react to our circumstances with fear. We're going to react to our problems with panic, not with faith. Faith activates us. Fear immobilizes us, cripples us. So don't forget to remember. You know, the older I get, the more often I forget things unless I intentionally choose to remember. Are you at that point in your life yet? One or two of you are. I mean, even this past Thursday evening, when I went across the Itchen Bridge to visit Joseph and Tommy Ailey Waller and their little boy, and by the way, they're expecting an addition to the family later in the year, so that's great news, isn't it? I found myself in their new apartment block where the security was tight, and once inside, it was like a rabbit warren. Stupidly, I didn't intentionally choose to remember the way that I came in. Needless to say, therefore, when it came to get out, I couldn't. And I found myself in the back of this apartment in this secluded garden where there was no way out. Thankfully, I had my phone on me. I had to phone Joseph up and say, look, can you come and rescue me? I mean, it took him long enough to get to me. I don't know whether he was just, testing my patience. But, it was one of those times where I wish I had not forgotten to remember. And I think it brings us to a lovely thought that I want us just to crystallize all this passage with this morning. A thought to remember, if you like, a thought to treasure. It pays to remember. Why? Because we're going to see, for to forget to remember can be very costly. As anyone who's not remembered my birthday this morning will find out. It's good to remember. I mean, you think about that. It's so easy to look around us and to forget to remember that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Do you sometimes forget that when you look at the world and you think that evil's winning? It's not. It's not. It pays to remember. It's so natural to look at us and forget to remember that God has given us beauty for ashes, that God will never leave us nor forsake us, that he has loved us with an everlasting love. Isn't that beautiful? So before we were even looked at, no matter what we ended up looking like, God looked upon us with love. And in Jesus, he has secured us in that love forever, because nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful thing to remember? Folks, don't forget to remember. It pays to remember. That's at the heart of what we're going to look at this morning, because to forget to remember can be very costly. And it's so dangerous to look about us too, isn't it? And forget to remember that our Heavenly Father, just like our own earthly fathers, are to be honored by our love for them, are to be honored by our behavior towards them, and are to be honored by our obedience to them. Don't forget to remember. That's what we need, says Jude, as he begins this passage here in verse 5. A passage that begins with a proven principle that those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So what is it he tells his readers? Look at in verse 5 there. Though you already know this. I know that you know this. I want to remind you. What's he saying? Well, he's quoting my dad, isn't he? Don't forget to remember. That's what he's saying. And I found it interesting looking up that word remind that he uses here. On Father's Day, it's a wonderful word for him to use, because the word he uses for remind here is a word that a parent would use when they were trying to get the attention of their children, when they were just about to do something stupid and they didn't want their children to forget what it would ultimately lead to. Does that ring any bells? I mean, it might come across today, for instance. You know, a father might say to their child, you know what happened last time you tried to fly, don't you? You broke your leg. Do you honestly think it's going to be any different this time? That's what Jude is going to go on and teach us. Don't forget to remember. If we don't learn the lessons from the past, and he's going to give us three illustrations of what we needn't forget, so that we can walk with him and enjoy him and fellowship with him, then we have to remember. And this is his Father's heart telling those who already know what happens to those who give up on God and turn away from his path. Don't forget to remember, he says, where it led them who went before you, because it ain't going to be any different this time. So he gives us three illustrations here. And the first is this, and I try to keep these simple, and I would have done it in a slightly different way, and we will come back to one or two of these things at another time, but I try to keep it simple and more in tune with where we are today. But the first thing he says is this: don't forget to remember to believe what God says. Do you sometimes do that? Sometimes my forgettery, you know, is a real problem to me. I can remember the things that I want to forget, and I forget the things that I need to remember. But this is one of the things that I can't forget to remember, to believe what God says. Because I know as a father, and I know as a grandfather, and I know as a pastor, that I can do little better than to tell you this morning, don't forget to remember what God says. And put your trust in him. Lean your weight upon him. I remember when I was a younger boy, and I didn't understand it at the time, but I've grown to experience it, so I understand it now. I would often see an older looking person come into a place, and they look tired and they look drained, and they sit on a seat. And when they sat on that seat, they go, oh, they go, oh, you know, I need to take the weight off my feet. Have you ever heard somebody say, have you ever said it yourself? Yes. You grow into it, don't you? You know, so you're putting all your weight, you're putting all your effort into that seat, and that seat gives you what you're looking for, the rest and the peace that you need. And this is what we cannot forget this morning. You know, believe what God says. Lean on him. Put your trust in him. Put all your weight upon him, because that's where true rest, that's where true peace, that's where true life lies. Not in what you're straining to do, but in the fact you're coming to him who is sufficient for you. Do you believe what God says. Have you put your faith in the Lord? The old Sunday school acrostic, I think, said it best. What is faith? F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. I don't think it gets any better than that, do you? And the reason Jude doesn't want them to forget this is because it pays to remember, and to forget can cost us our very soul. We're lost without Christ, but find all that we're looking for in him. And so he gives us this example to hammer the point home. Not because he's a policeman who's just enjoys upholding the rule of law and wants to dish out a penalty fine, but because he has a father's heart and is wanting to extend the hand of grace to those who are in danger of missing God's best for their life. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. And so he says, look at this. He says, I want to remind you, don't forget to remember, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. Now this, you know, many of you will know, this is the Bible story of Exodus. So you can read the whole story for yourself. Funnily enough, it's in a little book in the Bible called Exodus. You can read the whole story for yourself. How for 400 years, the people of Israel were held captive of slaves by the superpower of Egypt of its day. And for 400 years, they used to send those prayer missiles up to God. Get us out of here. Get us out of here. Get us out of here. And eventually the Lord comes through for them and proves that he can be trusted with their foes. That this mighty army of Pharaoh's couldn't hold them in when God told his people to go. Remember how the Lord did it and stayed true to himself? He sent disaster into that land in the form of lice and hail and locusts and frogs. He sent disease in the form of boils and pestilence. He sent darkness. He sent death. And as a result of all of that, Pharaoh eventually relented and said to Moses, you can take your people out of here. And he sent him off with a flea in his ear and a good riddance to boot. But their bondage was ended because God proved he could be trusted with their foes. And even more than that, God proved he could be trusted with their freedom, because when Pharaoh changed his mind, remember, he realized that the workforce was walking away. He sent the troops after them, and Israel quickly found themselves between the devil and the deep Red Sea. Which direction could they turn? The Egyptian army behind them, the Red Sea in front of them. So what did God do? Divided the sea, his people walked across, brought the sea back, drowned the Egyptian army, and delivered his people, proving that God who sets you free is the God who's able to keep you free. Amen? Now, you know, we're not just wanting to take us out of Egypt. He wants to get us to the land of promise, to live in the full measure of the blessing that he's poured out for us in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, incredible, if you know the story, God proved he could be trusted with his people's food. When they got hungry, he fed them from heaven. Manna. Manna means, what is it? Some of us get fed that every night, don't we? What is it? Manna from heaven. When they were thirsty, he gave them water from the rock. And also, look, God proved he could be trusted with their feet. They had shoes that didn't wear out for 40 years. That's bad business for John Waldron. But it's great for God's people's feet. He proved what he could do. And why did he do all of these things? Because he wanted to say to the nation of Israel, beyond any shadow of a doubt, they could believe his word. That God does what he says he is going to do. And we must be very careful that we don't confuse God's patience with us for God's approval of us. Do you believe what God says? Well, let him bring you not just out of Egypt, but into the land of his blessing. Not just to escape the enemy, but to live in the favor of himself. How many want God to get them out of a bad situation, but not in to a better way of life? How many want God to forgive all their past sins but not to limit their freedom to sin again? How many want the blessing of God without ever bowing the knee before God? And Jude says you've got to believe his word. Don't forget to remember. He delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those. Why? Because they did not believe. And they had so much that they should have trusted God with in light of what God had proved himself able to do. Isn't that true? He took them through the Red Sea. He brought them out of Egypt. He fed them in the desert. He watered them in the desert. He kept their clothes up to fashion in the desert. And yet we're told, because all these people who've seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test now 10 times, have not heeded my voice, they shall certainly not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of them who rejected me see it. I think that's an absolute tragedy, that when God puts it all out for there for us, we can forget to remember to believe what he says. Look to his word. Trust it. Is that blind faith? No, it's not blind faith. It's not a step into the dark. It's a step into the light, because you know you can trust God for what he promises in what he's already gone and delivered. Amen? Trust him. Believe him. Obey him. Because obedience is faith turned inside out. And then secondly, don't forget to remember too, to benefit from where God puts you. And this is a lovely little reminder that Jude gives us here in his next illustration, which is not a national illustration, but it's a celestial illustration, regarding our need to fall in with God and not fall away from God. And that's what he's going to talk about. Don't forget to remember the benefit from where God put you. Now, I don't think there's any loving father, I don't think there's any loving parent that wants to see their dear ones miss out on what is best for them. But sometimes, sadly, we don't always get what we want. And though it hurts to watch people move away from where God would bless them, it does happen, doesn't it? It does happen. You remember Jesus told the story of the prodigal son? He told the story of the prodigal son, and the prodigal son took his father's inheritance and he went out trying to find the kind of life that he thought was worth living. And eventually God got him to the place where he came to his senses, and the prodigal son realized that everything that he'd been wasting his life for, everything that he'd been going after, was actually back at home where he'd left it with the father. Don't forget to remember the benefit where God put you. Sometimes the very place, the very people, the very situation that you're trying to get away from is where God put you to bless you. He's positioned you there for blessing. But you think it's doing something else. You think it's being something else. Well, it's not at all. It's not at all. And so Jude reminds us of this, of staying put and knowing and living in the benefit of what God wants to bless us with, in telling us this tale, which is quite confusing to some. We're not going to go into great detail, but he says, I want to remind you, don't forget to remember that the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. And, you know, most Bible scholars trace this incident back to what happened at the time of Noah, when some fallen angels, you remember when Satan fell from heaven, took a third of the angels with him, some of those fallen angels came at the time of Noah, possessed the bodies of men, and took human wives, and the consequence of that unholy union brought forth what we know to be the Nephilim, a race of giants, causing destruction. An unbelief in the world that allowed God to come and usher in the flood to put right what was wrong. And I'm not going to go into all the whys and wherefores of that this morning. Suffice it to say that according to Jude here, the problem came because they did not keep their positions. of authority, but abandoned their own home. In other words, these fallen angels, demons, relinquished their position and resigned their God-given purpose. They no longer benefited from where God had put them. Isn't that a tragic tale? Don't you find that tragic? Jude's simply saying that if it can happen to an angel, it can happen to any one of us. So don't forget to remember the place that God has put you in. Don't become apostate, falling away from where God's will would take you. That's what he's trying to get across here, because that's a dangerous thing for us to forget. Do you remember King David, who got into difficulty with Bathsheba? You know? And why did he get into difficulty with Bathsheba? Because he wasn't where he should have been. He should have been on the front line with his troops because there's a battle, and he stayed at home on his palace roof, and he caught sight of a woman that he should never have caught sight of and ended up doing what he should never have ended up doing. We've got to be very careful. You know, I think of the little boy whose mother said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm in the larder." She said, "What are you doing in the larder?" He said, "I'm fighting temptation." Folks, we've got to be very careful that we don't put ourselves where the Lord doesn't want us to be, because we may find ourselves doing things that we might live to regret. So Jude's saying, don't forget to remember that. I know you know it. We all know it. But there are times when we forget. We put ourselves in a place, in a situation, with an attitude. It's going to rob the very purpose and calling of God upon our lives. And it's heartbreaking. So don't you forget to remember where God has put you. And, you know, because we're Father's Day, and because I'm no angel, I will say this, as I thought about that, the way that I felt God speaking to my heart, and the way that I want to share it with you, is that I don't want to be missing myself from where God has stationed me to be as a dad. I don't want to be missing myself from where God has positioned me to be as a husband, or as a friend, or as a pastor, or as a granddad, or as a work colleague. Do you? Because I want to live within the benefits of all that I know God wants to bless me with. And I find it particularly challenging. So if you're here as a dad this morning, can I just say a little word to you? Don't give up being the dad that you were called to be. Don't sacrifice your children's need of you on the altar of business. Do you know what Paul says? Fathers, don't exasperate your children. When I was a child, I used to love that verse of scripture. You know, the Lord doesn't speak so much to me now through it. But I find, as a dad, you know, we fail our children and we move away from our station when we exasperate them by our absence. We're just so busy that so often our children just get our leftovers, while everybody else can get our best. Wrong priority. We exasperate our children by unavailability. We're around them, but we're not actually with them. You ever notice that? You know, they're there, but we're watching the television. They're there, but we're reading the newspaper. They're there asking questions, and we're saying, go and ask your mum. Because we're unavailable, even when we're there right with them. And I don't want to step down from that station with my own children and my own grandchildren, because the relationship that I want with them, whatever they do, has got to be one where we can continue to communicate and love, even when we don't always agree. We exasperate our children too, I would suggest, by our criticism if we're not careful. And how many of you here have been wounded by the feeling that you were never good enough for your dad? I think the praise and encouragement of a father can be the means through which a child can stand and face even some of the great difficulties of life. Because when, as a father, we honour God, our children are going to learn that even if they don't follow our path, they recognise the path that we ourselves do follow. Isn't that true? You know, are you on station as a father this morning? And if you have been hurt, can I just tell you from the psalm, remember his name is the Lord. And even if your father's let you down or disappointed you or not come up to the mark that you expected for your father on this earth, remember he is the Lord and he is a father to the fatherless. Amen? Please look to him. He'll never disappoint you. Don't forget to remember. Don't give up being the friend you were called to be. Some people say to me, you know, I wish I had a good friend. But you know, to have a good friend often demands us being stationed in the place where we are a good friend. Isn't that true? Don't give up on being the example that you're called to be. Someone somewhere is going to take their lead from us and follow our example. And I would hope and pray that in the example that we set, it's going to bring them closer to the Lord, not block their path to him. So I think of that little boy who said to his dad when he came in from the garden with his bike all busted up, he said, "Dad, what is that word you use when you hit a bad golf shot?" It's not the right example. Are you stationed where you are an example for Christ? I feel it. I want to tell you the hottest part of hell is reserved for those apostate pastors and preachers and professors who pervert the truth of God. And that's why James says, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." I feel the burden of that. But there's so many that are sheep in wolves' clothing. Sometimes we got to recognize that we've got to fulfill the station God's put us in so we get the benefit from it. Don't forget to remember that, will you? I'm not saying that this church is always a taste of heaven. But I tell you, there are folk that come to church here on Sunday and they feel the warmth of a place that Jesus loves. They bathe in the glow of the praise that exalts Jesus. They're exposed to the truth of a pulpit that preaches Jesus, and they experience the joy of a people who've received Jesus, and yet they can still walk away forgetting to remember the benefit of being in a place where God has put them to hear the very message of life that God wants to bless them with. Never walk out the same way you walked in. And then last of all, as we ask the children to come back in, and very quickly here, because we'll have to pick it up another time, but we ought to close with it. Don't forget to remember to behave how God wants you. Not because, please, you know this, but I'm going to tell you not to forget it. Not because our behavior per se saves us, but because our behavior should reflect the belief in the Lord that we have. You know? We're not doing good things because we want to get on side with God. He puts us on side with him as we believe him for all that he has paid for in Christ. And then our behavior reflects our belief. Isn't that right? But I like this sense. He says, "I want to remind you that Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality." Now, I haven't got to go into the graphic details of this morning. If you want to know what was going on here, just pick up a modern novel, or go and watch, many a film, and you'll pick up some of the things that are going on here. I don't want to go into that today because that's my birthday and this is Father's Day. And you can read the story for yourself in Genesis 19. But the point is this, that the true people of God are not looking to sin. They're looking away from sin. They're not wanting to indulge self. They're wanting to be pleasing to the Lord. They're not conforming to the pattern of the world around them, but they're being renewed by the transforming of the purity of their own minds within them. And interestingly enough, Sodom was a beautiful place. You remember when Abraham split with Lot because their herds were getting too big, and Abraham said, you go and choose the land that you want. Sodom was part of what Lot chose. Because it was beautiful, it was well watered, it was fruitful. It was a beautiful place, and yet by the behavior that was going on there, it turned into a wasteland. I thought of that. I thought, on Father's Day, there's a contrast here with my own daughter. My daughter is called Bethany Joy. We named her after the little village that Jesus stopped in on his way to the cross, where in dying for us, he turned the ugly of our sin into the very goodness of God for us. And we called our daughter Bethany Joy because the presence of Jesus at a place called Bethany turned it from Bethany, a place of sorrow, into Bethany, a place of joy. Because the difference that Christ makes is clear and it's obvious. And when we believe him for what he blesses us for, we behave in a way that we show the world we haven't forgotten what he's done. And we're glad to follow him. Don't forget to remember. What happened in Sodom speaks for itself, but what happened to Sodom should speak to us all. When we choose our way instead of God's will, we won't be able to contain the fallout. I've told you this before, you know, but fire in a grate can warm, can heat, can cook, and there's very little more comforting than sitting around a nice fire. But a fire out of the grate can destroy. And as we've seen tragically this week, it can kill and it can do a lot of damage. And any sex outside of the context in which God sets it, in marriage between a woman and a man, is putting the fire out of the grate. And if we forget to remember that, we're going to struggle to know the blessing of God. Don't forget to remember. Now, all of this happened before Christ came. But in the coming of Christ, we no longer need live under the judgment of God. We can find our life and security forever in him. How many of you remember, I'm closing with this, how many of you remember when you watched the old Western films, when a prairie fire just, you know, went right across the land? You ever seen a film, you know, when those fires for the early settlers in the Wild West of America, you know, the fire came across the prairie and it was a wildfire. And it moved at tremendous speed. They couldn't even escape on the fastest horses. So how did they escape being burnt to death? Well, what they do is they would burn their own patch of ground. They would burn a patch of ground. And then they would congregate in that patch of ground. And as the fire came towards them, they stayed fixed and steady in the ground that had already been burnt. Because there was nothing left to be burnt, they escaped the fire. It's a wonderful thing to finish on Father's Day, to know that we've got a Heavenly Father who sent his dear Son to the cross to be burnt to death for you and for me, to take the judgment of my sin, every sin, and your sin. And when we put our faith in Christ and we stand in him, the ground that's already been burnt can never be burned again. So come that great day when we give an account. God's not going to condemn us for what we've done if we're in Christ, because he's been condemned for us. He's not going to penalize us for what we've done, because Christ has already paid the price of our penalty for us. Wow. God, who did not spare his only Son, but gave him up for us. Isn't that a marvelous thing to remember on Father's Day? You all know it, don't you? What I'm saying to you this morning now is this. Don't forget to remember. Believe what God says. Benefit from where God has put you. Because it's not by accident that you're here or there. And behave as a consequence how God would have you behave. Because we are an example to those who come after us. Amen.